أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الصلاة والسلام على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Continuing with our look at Qiyama clothes.
Today we will look at Surah number 101, which is Al-Qariyah, generally translated as the calamity. So let's just look at the word Qariyah first. In essence, it is defined as the act of striking or pounding, as well as the instrument used for this act. For example, a hammer is called miqra'a. It's a loud, perturbing noise when two things collide together on the day of Qiyamah. Sometimes it is said that it's the name of the second call that will herald the start of the resurrection. The first and second calls will sound for the purpose of inspiring awe and glorification. And then the last call is, وَمَا أَزْرَاكَ مَالْقَارِيَةَ, what will make you understand what the sudden calamity is. It stretches our imagination and our awe, enabling us to echo within ourselves the understanding of that finality. Maybe a simpler way to look at it is to imagine the noise that is produced when intentions and actions will collide. And it's a noise that will take peace away, like a noise in the middle of the night that wakes you up. The word Qariyah appears 5 times in the Quran. It appears 3 times here, then once in Surah Al-Ra'd, Surah number 13, and once in Surah Al-Haqqa, which is Surah number 69. So let's just look at the Surah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Al-Qariyah, the sudden noise, the sudden calamity. And then the second ayah, Mal-Qariyah, what is this sudden calamity? What is this noise? The ambiguity in the first ayah initiates a question in the mind. What is Al-Qariyah? And then the third ayah, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْقَارِيَةَ, what will make you understand what this sudden calamity, what this sudden noise is? Let me try to elaborate a little bit more. Sometimes when one word is spoken, lots of thoughts come into the mind. For example, if somebody said, fire, then it indicates a state of emergency, immediate action. It causes alarm. In the same way, when the word Qariyah is said, immediately in the head should come infitar, the tearing open of the skies that we saw, as we saw in Surah number 82, inshiqaq, the explosion in Surah number 84, takwir, the folding up of the sun in Surah number 81. All this, the moment you say Al-Qariyah. So although it's an unimaginable cosmic phenomena, all we know is that is an explosion that will emit a tremendous shockwave. Think of a nuclear explosion that destroys and smashes everything into pieces. Now imagine the same thing taking place in the universe on such a massive scale that even the sun will be but a small part of it. So Allah now elaborates in ayah 4, يَوْمَ يَكُونُ النَّاسُ كَالْفَرَاشِ الْمَبْثُوثِ, the day on which human beings will be like thickly scattered moths. Farash is moths or butterflies. The root word is farasha, which means to spread out. The word mabthuth comes from batha, which means to unroll or unfold in a dispersive way. In modern Arabic, it also means to transmit by radio, implying the spreading or scattering of energy wave bands in a way that's not physical. So human beings will be as scattered moths. Maybe not necessarily in confusion or chaos, but their dispersion will be similar to the transmission of radio waves in that it'll be directional. And then he says, وَتَكُونُ الْجِبَالُ كَالْإِهْنِ الْمَنْفُوشِ, and the mountains will be like fluffed up wool. Nafasha is to puff something up, to swell it out or ruffle. The mountains, now so firm and solid, will revert to the original reality and become like unspun wool, since they're not made of anything but the command be, kun. So this first section of ayah 1 to 5 presents this shattering event in a graphic way. Now let's look at the second section, which is ayah 6 to 11, where the Quran employs a metaphor to make the point that the weight of our deeds will be assessed on that day by a perfect scale of justice. So Allah says, فَأَمَّا مَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَهُوَ عَيْشَةٌ رَاضِيَةٌ, then as for him whose measure of good deeds is heavy, he will live a pleasant life. Contrasted to the weightlessness of the mountains, good deeds will be on scales. Isha comes from Aisha, which is a life where necessities are not a problem. In other words, a worry-free life. So he whose actions, intentions, awareness, and remembrance of divinity in this life were heavy, in the sense they were substantial, so they were constant, measured, and persistent, is the one who will be in a perfect state of contentment. And now look at the contrast. وَعَمَّا مَنْ خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَأُمُّهُ هَاوِيَةٌ. And as for him whose measure of good deeds is light, his home will be Hawiya, the bottomless pit. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا هِيَ. What will make you understand what it is? نَارٌ حَامِيَةٌ. A raging fire. So he whose measure was light, whose actions in this existence were of no consequence, will be as much at loss in the next life as in this. Means source or origin or foundation. And Allah looks at this destination as a bottomless pit. And hawa means to fall, to tumble down. It describes the final fall, which will have no end in that zone of timelessness. And we can only experience a taste of it here, the smaller fire. Hamia comes from hama, which means to become very hot, to flare up, to fly into a rage. This is a description of that fiery state. If we are aware of the state of agitation that arises from wrong action, then we have had a foretaste of what the fire is. Let us pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to focus on increasing the measure of our good deeds. فَتَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ.